With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere. The extra crunchy, extra spicy Fifth Hour with me, Ben Maller, and Danny G Radio as we are in the air everywhere. The power of the pod, the global reach of podcasting 8 days a week, fresh, original audio content, which might even be mildly entertaining every single day of the week. We thank you for being a supporter of the podcast. And if you missed the Friday podcast, the big announcement, the Maller meet and greet, first Maller meet and greet of 2024, and the first one ever in the South below the Mason-Dixon line will be in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. So if you're in Myrtle Beach or Wilmington, South Carolina, it's not that far away from those places. And if you want to drive a little further, I'm not sure what's south of Charleston, but check it out. So we'll be there. Details on yesterday's pod. But Danny G is hanging out with me as we get the party started. There was a pretty big story in our business that didn't get too much attention. We didn't talk about it on the overnight show because it's more of an industry story, but I thought this was a massive deal because it's something that I've had to deal with my entire time in radio, and it appears I will not have to deal with it anymore. Did you see, Danny, that the Federal Trade Commission voted to approve a new rule that will ban non-compete clauses in contracts?
This is something that radio dudes and TV guys have had to deal with for years.
Yes, it is a nightmare. Every contract I've ever had, everywhere I've ever worked, they say, if we ever get rid of you, you are not allowed to work at another radio station in, you know, competing station for a year. Or, you know, sometimes it's 6 months, but usually the ones I've had is a year. And if you're off the air for a year, out of sight, out of mind, good luck finding a job after that. It's very difficult. And it's really stupid because if a station, a radio station gets rid of you, They don't think you're a good enough talent. They don't think you're making them money. So why would you care if that person went to another a station down the hall from you, like, or down the street from you? Like, who cares?
This would be like if an NFL team cut you and then you couldn't play in the league for a year.
Yeah, you had to sit out of your, yeah, he's like, Patrick Mahomes got released by the Chiefs and he couldn't go sign with the Raiders. He had to sit out a year and then he could come back. They estimate, it's not official yet, by the way, it's going to take 120 days or so for the reversal to take effect. But when it does, they claim that this will increase workers' salaries by $300 billion annually. That sounds like bullshit to me, but that's what they're saying. I read about this week, and it really is more important for what we do for a living. But that's a big deal. That is a massive deal. It's one of those things, Dan. It's kind of like the blackout rules on television for baseball and basketball and whatnot, where, oh, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to watch that broadcast. You're restricted. It's just stupid.
It blocked me from a good program director job years back.
Well, honey, I've extended our line of credit.
There was nothing we could do about it back in the day, so it's good that it's hopefully going to be changing.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. And it'll be great. And I'm not looking to go anywhere. I don't think you are either. But if something were to happen, we wouldn't have to sit out for a year. And we'd be able to be right back in the game.
We're at the top, Ben. There is no competition for Fox Sports Radio.
Really?
I'm reading that off a cue card, by the way.
Did Don give you that, or Scott? Which one gave you that? I'm not sure.
Annie Z gave me the card. Oh, Danny, you got to read this on Ben's podcast.
Verbatim. Read it verbatim. Don't miss a word. Well, Marconi would be proud. And today, being the 27th of April, the Saturday, it is International Marconi Day. How are you celebrating International Marconi Day today, Danny? Do you have any?
By doing a Marconi-worthy podcast.
Well, this is kind of funny because Marconi's birthday is actually on April 25th. So why are we having Marconi Day today? It's International Marconi Day. And the way it works is observed annually on the Saturday closest to April 25th, which is his birth date. So here we go. He is credited with the invention of the radio telegraph system, Marconi's Law, and sending the first wireless transmission over the open sea back in the day. So you can thank Marconi. And he had no idea about what any of the internet or anything exist, but he was born in 1874. He got the radio wave patent in 1896, so he was 22 years old. And then in 1901, he was 27, crossed the ocean. He created the mechanism that transmitted radio waves over the Atlantic Ocean. First time ever. Between England and Newfoundland, which is now part of Canada. And there's some random fun facts. On today's pod, we've got the Magic Man, Old Hollywood, some other things as well. I want to start with this. I posted some photos on the Gram and on Facebook. I don't know if you saw them this past week. I think on Monday. I forget what day. Monday was the day I went to the DMV. So I think while I was online at the DMV, I was playing around with my phone, and I think I sent a bunch of photos. And that is, I'll give you the inside skinny on that. So I was upside down in these photos. Some people thought I was Photoshopped into these. I was not Photoshopped into those photos. That comes, Danny, from one of the coolest places I have been to in a while. It's a lot of fun. And I recommend it. It's kind of pricey, but it's fun. It's a good time, good date place. And I think there's a few of these around the country. Have you ever been to the Museum of Illusions?
No.
Yeah, it's in Hollywood. In the hood, in Hollywood. I stepped over human shit, human piss, and then around some homeless people. And there it is, the World of Illusions. It's a new, improved World of Illusions. It's a fully immersive experience, Danny. like no other you'll go to. And it's got four different parts of the museum. Of course, they charge for all four. And it's pretty cool. Like you can put yourself in the giant house where they have these massive oversized coffee cups and shoes. And I think I'll post some more photos today to accompany this podcast from the giant house. But I sent some photos from the upside down house, which is really cool. You walk around this museum and you are in rooms that are literally upside down. Like the refrigerator is on the ceiling. The toilet is on the ceiling. And you're on the floor, which is now the ceiling when you take the photo. And it's pretty wild. So the upside down house, which I love. That was my favorite. The giant house, which was pretty cool. And then they had this other one, which is like you stand in front of these photos and it's kind of, it makes you seem like you're in the artwork.
Did you wash your hand after you touched the toilet?
No, I licked the toilet. What are you talking about? it's located right in the middle of Hollywood, right across from the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. Unless I got down the street a little bit there in Hollywood. So I went with the wife, and this is a museum that would not exist without Instagram, would not exist without social media. And it's pretty cool. I think it's 12 plus.
I've seen some pop-ups that are similar where the whole point is to take pictures for social media.
Yeah, it's you know, it's different. I was looking for something to do and thought that would be something I hadn't done. It'd be kind of unique, so why not? And I told our friend Lorraine that she should take her daughter there and kind of, you know, hang out. She's big on the socials, so.
Too short to touch the toilet, though.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
The other thing about that, now I mentioned, you know, the magic and all that, and I'll post some more photos. I'll try to remember to do that today. After that, since we were in Hollywood, my wife had made reservations at the oldest restaurant in Hollywood. Do you know what the oldest restaurant in Hollywood is, Danny?
Tommy's.
Tommy's, it probably is. No, we went to Musso and Frank's. You ever been to Musso and Frank's Grill in Hollywood?
Never been.
I'd never been either. I thought I had been there, but I'd been to Miceli's, which is across the street. I thought that was Musso and Frank's. I'd never been there. This restaurant dates back to 1919. Now, if you're in Boston or New York or Philadelphia or someplace that's like been around for a while, he's like, there's stuff here from the 1700s. But in California, there's not too much that's around that's older than that. So this thing opened in 1919. It's the oldest restaurant in Hollywood, said to be the genesis of Hollywood. That's their big marketing slogan. And it isn't much different than it was when it opened. And they have a back room for the Hollywood crowd that comes in there. But a lot of the big stars, I'm talking, this is a place where Charlie Chaplin ate at, Humphrey Bogart, Sinatra, Marlon Brando, big stars back in those days, Marilyn Monroe.
So is their food in black and white?
Yes, exactly. Orson Welles was somebody that ate there. And they claim that even now there's still like Johnny Depp, George Clooney, people like that will still eat there. I don't know. I mean, it's fine. It was nice. I actually enjoyed the food. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it because I thought, this is a tourist trap. And then the thing that I liked most, forget about Marlon Brando, Charlie Chaplin, Marilyn Monroe, Huell Howser did an episode of visiting with Huell Howser was this guy on PBS when I was a kid, and we mocked him on California's Gold. Huell Howser,
yeah, that was a cool show.
It was cool.
It was rough around the edges, but it was endearing because of that.
Yeah, so he went there. He did an episode. And I read online, I did not realize this before I went to Musso and Frank, but I read online that it is listed as one of the 1,000 places to see before you die. Those lists are always dangerous, Danny, because when you get a list, what if you get everything on the list, then you're ready to die?
Kill ourselves.
The only complaint I would have at Musso and Frank is that everything is like kind of a la carte. You get a meal. If you want the fettuccine Alfredo and you want a side of something else, like potatoes, everything is a la carte. And I was thinking about pulling a Maller there, Danny, where I would just like storm out. But my wife wanted to eat there, so we stayed. But I almost pulled a Maller and just like walked out. I'll walk out if they don't have chips at a Mexican restaurant or they don't provide free bread at an Italian restaurant. They did provide, this is an Italian restaurant, Musso and Frank. They did provide the bread, so I stayed.
I did, in fact, pull a Maller.
No!
On yesterday's podcast, we talked about your DMV adventures.
Yeah.
Well, I also went to a website thinking, I'm not going to drive over there in person to get an official document from the state of California. I'm just going to do it online. Coming up is the annual Bass Lake Fishing Derby. Talked about this on the podcast before. Yeah. Go there and meet up with my pops and my older brother and don't catch anything.
Don't!
But pay lots of money to participate.
Sure.
So we have it down to a science now, Ben. Everybody needs their one-day fishing license, but not all of us are going to pay that stupid registration fee. Because we figure if one of us is lucky enough to catch a $10,000 bass, we'll just hand it over to the person who has the registration paid.
Sure. Makes sense.
And just give them a little cut of the winnings. But you do need that fishing license. So normally I go to Big Five Sporting Goods, which out here on the West Coast is like one of our shops where you can get a one-day sport fishing license.
I did not know that. You're telling me something I did not know. I didn't know. Walk in there and get a little fishing license. That's great.
Yeah, it's like one of the few places here to do that. I was getting ready for the weekend because my wifey had mentioned to me when we were at Disneyland last weekend, she said, you know, it's good that we booked Disneyland this weekend because you're going to be gone fishing next weekend. She said that a couple different times, and I was like, all right. And my older brother had been bombarding me with text messages about the fishing trip. In my mind, it's like, coming up, it's Saturday. I got to get ready for this. I get online, California's website for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Well, I've never done this online. Let me figure it out. And I see in all red, it says, all sales are final. Put in all my information. I order the one-day fishing license for Saturday. which would be today, and it's $21. I'm like, okay, whatever. I order it. I put in my credit card information. Boom. And I'm like, man, I'm ready to go. Then about an hour later, I see a text message from my older brother. May 4th, right? Coming up in a couple of weekends.
Oh, no.
Oh, you gotta be shitting me. Immediately, I blame my wife and I text her. Why did you tell me next weekend I was going to be gone? Yeah, the first weekend of May. And I'm like, yeah, that's not this weekend coming up. I realized, shit, I paid this $21 to get the stupid fishing pass.
Yeah.
It's the wrong Saturday.
Idiot.
Then I think back to that all red in capitals, like somebody was yelling at me on social media. Is that, I wonder if that's real. Like, can I not adjust this stupid day pass that I'm not going to use or I haven't used? I do what most people probably try to do. I call the phone number listed for their contact. A nice lady answers and she says, oh yeah, we get this complaint a lot. Called me sweetie. She was an older lady and I'm like, this is not a good sign. She sounds like she's 90.
She's flirting with you. Yeah.
She says, sweetie, even though we're the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, can't help you. Website we use is ran by a third party.
Oh, no.
She said, we can't even get in there and adjust anything inside that site.
Oh, that sucks.
So and I'm like, oh. So I told her, well, if, a game warden comes up on our boat and wants to see my pass and I show it to him, I'm guessing he wouldn't take my explanation. He would just give me a ticket. And she's like, you guessed right.
Oh. So
she's like, I do have one suggestion, though. And she rambled off a P.O. box in Sacramento. She said, print out your current license. That's the wrong date. Put it in an envelope, sweetie. Send it over to this Sacramento P.O. box. And if they're feeling nice, they might send you a refund. But you do need to repurchase another one. Do I just purchase another $21 pass and mail this thing off to Sacramento? Do I just take a chance and go live on the edge with my fishing pass that's for the wrong day?
Yeah, so I would not. If you have a chance of actually winning the money, yeah, you gotta.
If I did pull that fish up that has money attached to it, somebody else would have to claim it regardless.
All right, so it's $21. How much is a ticket? If you got ticketed, how much is a ticket?
That I don't know.
You got to look that up. If you don't have a fishing license, what's the penalty? $21 is like, it's not that much, but that's a meal, right?
Exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. I bought something on OfferUp the following day for $30. That kind of thing sticks in your craw because you're like, damn it, man, what I wasted the day before.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, you could do, I worked with a guy years ago at Fox Sports Radio. I don't know what happened to him, but he would always drive in the carpool lane. And every once in a while, he would get a ticket for driving in the carpool lane. But he did the cost-benefit analysis, and he's like, well, I've only gotten 2 tickets, and I drive in the carpool lane every day, and I've driven in the carpool lane every day for 10 years, and I've gotten 2 tickets. So if you look at how much I've paid in tickets and then how often I've saved time in driving in the carpool lane, it's worth it.
I just Googled the penalty.
How much is the penalty?
Is if you are found guilty of fishing without a license in the state of California, the punishment is a fine of between $100 to $1,000.
Wow. Well, you're going to pay the money, or you're going to be a riverboat gambler? Literally.
Not sure, man. Tweet me. At Danny G Radio, let me know what you would do. I'm not sure how to deal with this. Do I just spend the $21 and it's a $42 fishing license? What a waste of money.
Yeah. And the tip is also the life hack is when you get a fishing license, even though it's very convenient to go to the sporting goods store, it's a third party. So the woman made it seem to me that she implied that if you went through them, she'd be able to change it.
She said, had I gone to Big Five like I normally do, they could have canceled the sale and made it for the right date. So I totally screwed up by trying to have convenience and trying to do it online.
Gotcha.
He's in complete denial.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
We have the idiom of the week. Are you ready for the idiom of the week?
Idiom of the week.
Not to be confused with idiot of the week. The idiom of the week, this was actually sent in by Scott in Northern Kentucky. He said, hey, Ben, can you do a deep dive on brass tacks? The idiom, get down to brass tacks. It actually, people say tax. It's taxed or tax is actually the way it is. And this goes back many, many years, as all these things do. There's an interesting quirk to this one, though. Because tacks and nails were made of metals, but tacks, T-A-C-K-S, have flat heads. And there's some different versions of how this came about. Brass tacks, get down to brass tacks. One of my favorites that I saw was the early days of America. And there's a theory that in America, originally, they used coffin tacks. And when President Lincoln's coffin was designed after he was assassinated at the Ford Theater, it was designed with massive silver tacks, T-A-C-K-S. And it was very unique, and it was decorated with the brass tacks as well. And the theory is that that is where the phrase get down to brass tacks came from. It's now a common expression, but that version dates back to the 1860s. And when you come down to brass tacks, if we may be allowed the expression, everybody is governed by selfishness, which is rather confusing. A few years after that, there was an article published that said coming down to brass tacks. According to the writer, it meant coming down to the serious business of death. Like President Lincoln. So I like that theory. Kind of unique, and why not? So we're going with that. There's other theories that are out there that are different, but I like the American original origin story that it has to do with President Lincoln being assassinated. And that's where that phrase comes to, getting down to serious business or death, coming down to brass tacks. We have a little time. Let's get to Danny. Let's see some Pop Goes the Culture.
Ohio out.
Pop, 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 pop goes the culture. jug. Pop, pop, pop those coat jug. Pop, pop, pop those coat jug. Pop those coat jug. Coat jug. Pop, pop.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Al. And what is up first here on Pop Goes the Culture? So many stories and so little time. I thought this one was interesting from Jerry Seinfeld. He is getting absolutely roasted for tearing down modern-day films, the movie business. Jerry Seinfeld said the movie business is over, he said, and this upset people who, yes, work in the movie business. But Seinfeld is not wrong. He went on a rant recently with GQ magazine, and he said, hey, listen, this is not a good situation. It's just not. The film business is dead. It's buried, he said. Now, the reason people think this is kind of amusing is he made the declaration while promoting a film that will premiere on Netflix in a couple of weeks. So he was doing media to promote a film while saying the film is, the business is terrible. He's going to make his directorial debut on May 3rd. Something called Unfrosted will drop on Netflix. I have no idea what that is. Apparently there's some big name actors in that. I have no idea. I'm sure my wife will watch it. She'll let me know if it's good or not. And all that. But the part of the rant which I thought was just wonderful is the part where he tore down the film industry. Because I don't think he's wrong. He said they don't have any idea that the movie business is over. They have no idea. He said film does not occupy the pinnacle in the social cultural hierarchy that it did for most of our lives, he said. When a movie came out, if it was good, we all went to see it. We all discussed it. We quoted lines and scenes we liked. Now we're walking through a fire hose of water just trying to see, he claimed. Yeah.
Our parents and grandparents sat in lines of cars to go to drive-in theaters around the country.
Yeah, well, they also wanted to make out in the car, though. You know, that was part of the deal, but
some of us were born.
Yeah, the point of conception. But he's so right on that. Like I quote a lot of movies, and I mention different random things in monologues. But I don't mention any movie from the last probably 15 years, at least, maybe longer than that. I think it's been about 15 years since movies really, really got bad. I just don't do it. And some people say, well, it's because you're a boomer. It's like, no. If a movie is good and there's a good line in it, I'll quote it. It's just, it was like a big to-do to go to the show. I remember my aunt loved to go to the show. Right? It was a big deal. My mom would drop us off at the movie theater. We thought we were like the coolest kids in the world. We'd buy one ticket and just hang out for 8 hours at the movie theater watching different movies. But it's not, you know, it's not like that, right? It's obviously... Oh.
Our go-to move was my mom would drop us off at the movie. I think there was like one day a week where it was like a cheaper price. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like early in the week, Monday or Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah. Like Tuesday movies or something. And so during the summer, she'd drop us off at a Tuesday afternoon movie. My older brother would take me into the rated R movie across the hall and then would rehearse the lie with me about what the PG movie was all about.
Solid. Did you ever have to use that information?
For sure, because my mom would quiz us. So what was the movie about? And my brother would then elbow me and I'd have to repeat my rehearsed lines.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. That's solid. That's good teamwork. That's brother helping brother is what that is. Oh, I like this story. A actor from Family Guy has revealed his parents hate the show and they would like the show off the air. Keep in mind, this guy has worked on Family Guy as a voice actor for 25 years. And he is the voice of Joe Swanson on the cartoon Family Guy. And he said his parents hate it. They do not want him on the show. They want the show to be canceled. He claimed that it's because of his parents' backgrounds. His father was in a monastery for 3 months. He almost became a monk. And he said his mom, when he was like 13 years old, passed out pamphlets on the sins of masturbation.
Pummel him with your powerful fists of female fury.
They don't like the humor. That's great. Man alive. What else do we have? Let's see. I'm going to do that. And I think we'll end it there. I mean, there's some other stuff, but I think we'll end it there. And anything you want to promote, Danny, it is Saturday. Got day baseball today, NBA playoffs, and the final day of the NFL draft.
We didn't get to talk about my Raiders selecting Bowers and how that means Minshew is going to have playing time. So I actually kind of like the fact that Bowers fell down to 13. You know, obviously some Raider fans wanted Penix Jr. I even talked about him, but you know, after the dust settled, I was like, well, you know what? Minshew with weapons around him, I kind of like that.
Look at you. You're putting a sugar coat, a coat of sugar on the Raider pick.
You know, if you weren't able to trade up to get Jaden Daniels and reattach him to Antonio Pierce, not taking a lineman or like an edge guy that would be a bust or something like that, I kind of like that they took the best player available.
Yeah, you took the top tight end in the draft. Whether he's good or not, that's a different conversation, but at least you got the top tight end.
I actually like who your Rams took, too, because he also was a guy that would have went a lot higher had that draft not been chocked full of quarterbacks.
Was it really historically a great quarterback draft, though?
We don't know yet. We'll know in 3 years.
But I bet you dollars to donuts, no.
History and statistics say no.
Well, three of the guys a couple months ago were projected as second or third round picks, and they were all drafted in the top 12 of the draft. I mean, what is that?
Looking to hit a Mahomes home run.
Yeah.
Mahomer.
As with Mahomes, though, people were questioning Mahomes when he was drafted. Like, he put up, you know, fake stats at Texas Tech, and he ran a gimmicky offense. And yeah, well, anyway, I have a wonderful Saturday. We got the mailbag on Sunday. We will chat with you then.
Later, skater.
Bye, Felicia.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.